And then mom's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I'm halfway through a dog door. It is so embarrassing to have to wriggle your body out of a dog door knowing that you're only just about to be yelled at and shamed.
As we go on, we remember all the times we spent together. And as our lives change, come whatever, we will still be friends forever. Hello, and welcome to the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast. For the last time, I am your roast coming queen here, Elise Morales. Just dropping in to say thank you once again for listening to this podcast, for rating and reviewing it if you did, for telling other people about it if you did, or honestly just for giving me even 1 second of your time. I've had the most fun doing it. I'm so grateful to All Things Comedy. I'm so grateful to our different producers, Paul and Claudia, Evan Shapiro, who really backed this project, everyone who has helped me with this podcast. I'm very grateful to them. I'm not really going to belabor the point too much. The Roast of Your Teenage Self is a project that's been and is really important to me, but I'm taking a little time to focus on my 31, pushing 32-year-old self. And I've got some fun stuff in the pipeline, so if you're not following me, follow me on Instagram, at Pandalise, that's P-A-N-D-A-L-I-S-E. I think every day I try to decide if I'm gonna delete Twitter, so follow me on Instagram at Pandalise. You'll find all of my updates. My live show in New York is bumped to May 26th at 7 p.m. at Under St. Mark's. I know we're almost sold out of tickets, but there's a link in my bio where you can get tickets to either the in-person show or the live stream if you are not here in New York. And until we meet again, please get into this wonderful episode with my little sister, Natalie. I honestly don't think it could have come out better. And it just really encapsulates everything. So have fun listening to it. And I'll see you when I see you.
Hello and welcome to the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast. I am your host, your roast coming queen, a girl who may or may not have traumatized this week's guest. And speaking of this week's guest, with us today, we have someone incredibly dear to my heart. She's a yoga instructor. She's a singer. She's a wise soul and beloved human. But before all of that, she was a graduate of Oakton High School. It's my own baby sister, Natalie Morales.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, yes. Long time coming.
Such a long time coming. Long time listener, long time observer of your high school experience.
Absolutely. Front row seat to all the stuff that we've talked about on this pod.
Grateful. I'm so and grateful. More. You did so many things so that I didn't have to. I was able to dig my little corner of tomfoolery elsewhere, which I did.
Absolutely. And we've discussed this a little bit on the pod. People on the pod will know that I have said that I was more angsty, angry, yelly teen. And you, I would not have categorized as angsty or yelly, but you got in more real trouble.
Yeah, I was
big
like,
girl trouble.
Oh yeah, I was like nice to your face, totally peaceful in the house, and then you turn your back and I'm like crawling out the dog door to smoke weed in the garage at 6 a.m. like,
absolutely Monday. And we will get to the fact that you were caught halfway out the dog door.
Not to spoil everything, but
there is one person on this podcast who was caught with her little butt halfway out of the dog door.
Am I the only one?
We'll get into it because I didn't.
We gotta get into
that's
it.
That's not how I conducted my mischief. But first, okay. Before we get into what's going to be an iconic final episode of this podcast, I do have to do the final iteration of our beloved segment. It's teen news. All right. So here's what I've got for you today, Nat. This is an article from a website. I forgot to write down which one. We're flying by the seat of our pants today. But here's what it says. Rumor of students getting drugged at West Springfield High School spring fling is false, officials say. A post circulating on social media claimed two guys, in quotations, were lacing students' drinks with a drug at West Springfield High School's school dance, causing them to get sick. But the post isn't true. Can you believe it? Have you ever seen a post that wasn't true?
The post about two guys? Everybody.
Yeah, the post claiming two guys drugged everyone. Not true.
Always. It's always two guys.
So we dealt with these things as soon as we were made aware of them, said Mayor William Reichelt, adding that they did not find any evidence of students' drinks getting laced. The information was being shared by students on social media and was posted on the West Springfield Community Forum group on Facebook. Some parents posted they had heard the same information from their children and were concerned. Reichelt said that there was an incident of a student possibly drinking, which was now being handled by school officials. It was not, however, due to a drink being laced. Principal Patrick Danby said it is being investigated, but did not have any further information on Monday morning. MassLive confirmed with Sergeant Joe LaFrance of the West Springfield Police Department that they were not involved. And if there were an incident involving drinks laced with drugs or alcohol, the police would be involved. And just as a note, the drinks provided at the dance were individually sealed Gatorades, juices, and waters. There were no open drink containers. So my question for you, first of all, initial reactions to, to the fact that some kids said two guys drugged them and it ended up like actually creating a problem on the school's Facebook group, which is classic.
Classic. Okay. Side note, Principal Danby is the most principliest principal name I've ever heard. So hooray for that. I'm so happy that he followed his rightful path in this world. Okay. What it sounds to me is like kids got drunk, got sick, and then they were like, two guys laced it.
Sorry, Mom. It must have been those two guys.
It was two guys who, that's why I'm puking all over the rug at home, is the two guys that laced it with what? Everyone sounds confused. No one sounds like they want to be honest with themselves about anything. Cool for the sealed Gatorade bottles. We never had that.
No, I actually don't even really remember refreshments being served at the dances.
There were no refreshments. What I do remember is that at the dances, it would get so hot that the walls would be wet. Like the walls would have
just, and steam. Also it's like the sweat of pubescent horniness, like the deep,
horny. It's another grade of sweat.
Yeah, like horny, pubescent, grinding sweat is
clammy
sweat.
Hands, clammy, clammy hands.
Clammy hands and just the hardest boners being felt on little legs.
Oh my God, I didn't realize how real this was going to get, but this is a visceral memory here.
Yeah, so that was actually going to be my question for you is, what is your craziest school dance memory?
School dance memory?
Yeah. Oh my God. Homecoming, prom, any of it.
Let's see here. Who did we have? My prom date got really, really sick and puked and couldn't come to the after party. And we
because
had
of those
no
two guys.
Fun. Because two guys. Because two guys. And I was really, really annoyed at that. Another homecoming. Let's see, you have your classic like sick kids. Everybody's sobbing in the bathroom every single time you go. I'll say one homecoming. I went with a date and he was like, gosh, I didn't even remember this until I sent you the picture, but he was like ignoring me, I guess, throughout the night, which I wasn't.
Rude.
Super, which is rude. I'm like, okay, why would you ever do such a thing? It was the kind of thing where like I said yes to him, and then me saying yes to him made him become cocky as a person, and then he started acting.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
You know? I was Yes.
I fucking invented you.
I know. I literally invented him, and he was rude to me at homecoming. So I cropped him out of our homecoming picture. And then iconic, one of my besties, I think I can say her name, Victoria, as you could imagine.
Absolutely. We're looking at the photo now.
Here is the full crop, because I'm like, dang, I look cute. My hair is straightened. Let's go. My good friend at the after party, like in front of everyone, kind of pushed him up against a wall and told him to call me and apologize, because I had left with my other friend to go smoke, because I was like, oh, screw this. Like, this guy's being rude. I'm not having fun. And so she and he did. He called me up and he apologized to me. And
wow. Okay. The power of the girlies.
Oh, the girlies. Yeah. And I had some pretty tough girlies by my side. Like,
so that's what I will say is one thing about you is that you have like a crew.
I have a crew.
Of the girlies. And you guys have been friends since second grade. It's one to two. And
people know if you mess with one of us, you're definitely messing with all of us. Like, it was the kind of thing where nobody would ever talk shit about one of my friends to me because they knew damn well that was not going to fly. And the same thing.
Absolutely. And we can see that confidence in your face here. It's the confidence of someone who says, no one will fuck with me when my hair is straight. And I've got this cute dress on. This is actually also a cute
one of the girlies. Yeah. And that dress was lent to me by another girlie. So I think you're right, because I'm looking back and I'm like, you know, I'm a sensitive person. I don't know why that really didn't tear me down. I would have like, why wasn't more sad? But I think I knew that I was so supported and I had the girlies on my side, and that ultimately I had like the social power in that moment.
I agree. I think that I think, again, we can see that confidence in your stare directly to camera, that you're like, this picture is going to be good whether I crop this motherfucker or not.
Oh, yeah, I cropped him. I did not care. I was like, I look so cute. There's no way that this picture is going to go down the drain for this person.
It's also just so like, it's such an obvious crop that it's like, it really is mean. It's like, no, I had a date. You will not be seeing him.
Yep. It was really overt. I was like, I do not care. I think then later I had a boyfriend after that, and he and my boyfriend, which I was not on Twitter. I've never been on Twitter, but he was, they like had a Twitter fight. They brought me it somehow, something about being like, oh, I think he said something like, oh yeah, you have my seconds or something like that,
because you guys went to homecoming together.
And I cropped him out of a picture. Yeah, man, some people, like, it really goes to their head. It really goes that you throw somebody a bone and they just,
no, fluids have to be exchanged for it to count as seconds. I'm sorry.
And I'll say that no fluids were exchanged. I'll say
and
that.
that's a rule. I don't think that we've made a lot of rules on the podcast, but here in this final episode, I will say a rule is that fluids have to be exchanged for it to count as seconds.
Exactly. There were no fluids. You didn't touch, eat a bite.
Yeah, you didn't touch your food.
You didn't even touch your food. See, that's not seconds. That's not seconds at all.
That's perfect. I never really got drunk at any of the dances. Did you drink at dances at all?
I didn't get drunk before the dance. I went to one homecoming and one prom, because I wasn't really into the like school sponsored events really. Right. So I would drink afterwards for sure. But I never got too wasted, I don't think. Not that I remember.
This is something we've talked about on the pod. I feel like my craziest school dance related memory is just that when I was a junior, we hosted, there was a spring fling for the first and only time in Oakden High School history. You and I went to the same high school. It was called the Crave, which was short for the Cougar Rave. And so many people got fucked up that they never had one again.
I remember that. I remember that you had the Crave. I swear I can remember you going to that. It was like neon, and it was basically rave culture, but then they wanted you to not do drugs.
No, yeah, exactly. And it was very much a two guys situation because I think it was like one girl showed up on ecstasy and they were like, shut it all down. The entire situation is shut down and the crave. That was the beginning and end of the crave. But I do remember that because of the crave, our class like had the most money of any class in history because it had been like a fundraiser for our class. Oh, and yeah. And then when it was time for our class to donate a gift to the school, because for some reason your class donates a gift to the school when really they should be giving a gift to you. We donated those big rocks that were in front of the school, which are just three big rocks.
What a joke. The rocks that get painted every couple of years or every year, I guess.
Yeah. People paint them. Like, I think every class has a rock.
Yeah.
In corresponding size to themselves.
Yes, exactly. By the time my experience at Oakden was like, I feel like there was just no pep in our step at that point. I don't think there was a lot of school spirit generally floating around when I went through there. I think everyone had kind of just rolled over and succumbed to the rocks.
Yeah, I think there was a little school spirit when I first arrived, because when I first got to Oakden, we were good at football because one of our football players was like a 21-year-old man. So like, we were really good because we had a grown man on the team.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so I remember like the pep rallies were really popping at that time. People were really going to the games. I would go to the games, but then we would sit on that big hill that faced away. Like I would performatively sit away from the game so no one could ever think that I was possibly watching the game. Like had to be understood that me and my Converse were not watching the game.
100%. I was similar. I would float. I was a little bit more of a floater. I would like go into the stands for a moment and be like, ooh, hoo, hoo. And then I would go back to the hill and be like, whatever.
I don't think I ever left the hill. Actually, feel like there's no way I was in the stands for even 1 second.
You bring up pep rally. And that reminds me, I did get to witness one of those classic pep rally moments where it's like, you have four people. It's like, welcome to the new members of the dance team. And it's like, okay, girl number one does a cartwheel. Girl number two did a back handspring. Girl number three goes for a backflip, lands on the face. And you hear the whole crowd. Yeah, no. You hear the whole crowd like, ooh. And it was painful.
Yeah, that is rough.
But then at a certain point, every time there was a pep rally, that was my like decision. I was like, oh, there's a pep rally, time to skip school. And that's what that's for.
I think I eventually left during the pep rallies, but in general, and I feel like the theme between the two of our teenage selves is that I was just too nervous to really break the rules other than like being a real bitch. Yeah. Like I was just like, it's not against the rules for me to be a huge fucking bitch.
Yes, it manifests so differently in us because I would never, like none of my teachers would have said that I was outwardly problematic or like causing an issue. Like I would never face to face cause a problem really, but I would skip, I would break the rules. I would disregard the rules altogether because I couldn't bear to be there. I simply could not.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about some iconic Natalie troublemaking moments. Since we've already brought it up, let's talk about sneaking out of the dog door first, because fantastic. So I'll set the scene for listeners. We had our house, and you can even tell that the homecoming picture we looked at was taken in front of our house. Our house had a very beautiful, very echoey foyer. Mm-hmm. We had very good prom stairs. That's why a lot of the homecoming and prom pictures were taken at our house. So I personally, during my time as a teenager, felt that our house was not conducive to sneaking out. And so my move was always just to say I was sleeping over at Megan's, but then actually be elsewhere. The idea of like mom and dad thinking I was in bed and then not finding me and the pressure of sneaking out was too much, but you were a sneak outer.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I couldn't do the sleepover thing because I had already proven with all of my friends that I get in trouble with when I'm with those friends. So if I were to say, I'm going to go sleep over at so-and-so's house, they'd be like, no, no, I don't know. I would do that sometimes, but other times it just, you know, it wasn't, I was home. It was just, I couldn't have so many sleepovers. So I, yeah, I just felt like, first of all, we had a dog and he had my back. Like I would walk past him and he would look me right in the eyes and he'd be like, go get it, girl. Like have a night. And I'd be like, thanks, babe. And I would walk right by him. He wouldn't bark, even though normally he would growl or bark, like if there was any, you know, disturbances during the night. So I knew exactly which floorboard to step over. Of course, I know the ones that creak. And then I just quiet on the way down. And then our laundry room, there's actually two dog doors. There's like the laundry room has, you know, the door into the house and the door to the garage. And so I had to like turn sideways onto my elbow so that I could fit through the dog door, like hips wise. And then eventually, oh wait, also rewind. I would do the like, make a fake Natalie in the bed, like put pillows. Yeah. And I even went so far as my friend had one of those like hair extension things. And I would put the little hair on top.
Wow.
I really took pride in my work. You know, I really did it with a lot of focus and a lot of intention.
I can't believe how many times I was probably just asleep. I mean, I was in college for most of the time that you were in high school.
Yeah.
So I was probably freshman year. Yeah. So I probably wasn't, because we never overlapped, because we're 5 years apart. So I guess I never slept in the house with the dummy, Natalie, but
no,
I am laughing.
No, you didn't. Of,
thinking about if I had ever discovered it, being like, oh my God.
So scary. So scary. So I would go through both doors. Eventually, after getting caught once or twice, they put an alarm on the door. And, you know, obviously that's when you stop, right? Wrong. You figure out the right time of night while they're still watching TV to like shut off the alarm real quick, because the alarm makes a little beep when you shut it off, but you can shut it off. So I would shut it off and I would just continue to like sideways army crawl out the dog door. But there was one time, I guess this is pre-alarm, where I should have known, because it was like late night. Mom comes into my room and I'm wearing a full outfit already.
Full beat.
Yep, full beat, full outfit. She's like, what's up? And I'm like, oh, I'm just trying on outfits for school. No, you're not. So I go to sneak out anyway. And as I'm making my way through and crawling with my little freaking mini skirt and probably entire ass showing, and then mom's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I'm halfway through a dog door. It is so embarrassing to have to wriggle your body out of a dog door knowing that you're only just about to be yelled at and shamed for what you've done.
Yeah, I guess you can't go backwards. Like you have to just
completely. I had to finish and go out and then come back in. Actually, she had to unlock the door for me at that point. So I had to crawl out. She had to unlock and open the door for me. And I had to be like, hey, yeah, I wasn't trying on outfits. I'm incorrigible. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, sorry that I guess I think you're really fucking stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry that this is my opinion of you at this point.
Because that is, I feel like if I were mom in that moment, the biggest insult would be like, I can't believe you think I'm this fucking stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it really, at that point, you just have to acknowledge that the adolescent brain really cannot conceive of consequences. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, just an aspect of that happening.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny to me for her to come in your room, see you fully dressed, and for you to be like, I got away with that one. Obviously. Well done, Natalie. No alarm bells raised. Mom believes it.
The need to go out and party is just so strong. It like trumps all other needs on the hierarchy of human needs. Like,
well, there was also the time in your sneak out history where friend who we've already mentioned, Victoria, called, but
oh God, that was early. So that was before I'd ever even snuck out. That was freshman year.
That was before the dog door.
Yep. This is pre-dog door. They call the house. They were 15 and they call the house phone because I don't know why. I have a freaking cell phone. They called my house And they're like, Nat, come out, look outside the window. We took our friend's car, look outside. And before I even have a chance to be like, actually, no, I don't want to do that. You guys can't drive and that's scary and I don't want to. I didn't even have a chance to like be lame because I actually was not really into that idea. I was like, both of you are 4 feet tall. How are you even reaching the gas pedals? Let's start there.
Yeah, that's actually like the person we're talking about is historically teeny tiny.
I was like, are you on each other's shoulders? Like, how are you even driving this vehicle? But before I have a chance to even say that, I hear Dad's voice and he's like, you girls better drive away. And like, you better go. And I look out the window and I see the full Roadrunner cartoon, the car wheels like spin in place. And then the car just absolutely takes off. And I was so mad because I still got in trouble, but I didn't even do anything. I was downstairs on the computer, like I should, on AIM, like being good. And, but that forever kind of tarnished Dad's opinion of that friend.
Oh yeah. Well, dad holds a grudge. If there's one thing about Dad, dad has a litany of people that he's mad at that
forever.
It's like an incredible list. I mean, remember Billy Ray Cyrus is on the list.
Yeah. I can't stand, what did he ever do?
I asked Dad, he said, and this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. He says he stole Achy Breaky Heart from those two guys.
Oh my God, it's those two guys.
Those the two guys.
So many problems and they don't even exist. And they don't.
I know, it's always two guys.
And Dad also has a problem with J-Lo, but you know, we can just go into all Dad's problems with people.
Yeah, I think that's a Cuban Puerto Rican thing.
I think so too. I think so too. Also with me, I feel like Mom and Dad, I kind of got the thing where it's like, okay, Natalie's the good girl, right? So they did that thing parents do where it's like, it's not her, it's all her friends. And I'm like, at what point are you guys going to admit that it's me? And also, do you want to take a second to reflect on yourselves as teenagers and realize that the apple is not falling far from the tree, to be fully honest with yourself?
Like, well, yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I do.
Parents,
yeah. Not to make this the roast of Mom and Dad.
Hey.
Mom and Dad did a great job with everything, with the tools that they had available to them.
They absolutely
but Dad does hold grudges for major sure. And that did begin, I think, a long-term grudge with one of the besties.
For sure. They, I mean, I'll say that many adults have had it in for Victoria and I. Because we have been rocking the boat since like sixth grade when we would get in trouble for talking and for just general mischief. They've tried to separate us time and time again and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do
no.
it. We came together so many times. We were roommates in college.
Mm-hmm. You were just in her wedding?
I was just in her wedding and gave a speech. So like, sorry y'all, it didn't happen.
Sorry.
So many adults love to tell you like your friends in high school will not be your friends in the future. And sure, I guess that they're trying to say like, you know, expand your horizons, but it was almost like they wanted us to not be friends. And I was like, no, actually I'm going to be friends with these people for as long as that feels right. And it continues to feel right.
Yeah. And I do feel like there's something threatening to adults that are just like two young girls giggling it up and having a good time.
Oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
What are they up to? Like I had like mixed relationships with parents. Like some parents would like me, some parents really didn't like me. And it was 100% just because I had crazy hair. And they would be like, what is this crazy hair going to do to my beautiful little angel or whatever? Yeah. Like crazy hair girl is going to corrupt my sweet teen.
Yeah.
And I really think a lot of it, especially when you're a young girl who parents feel threatened by, it's very much like, who is she to be having a good time?
Yeah. Yeah. And colored hair will do it too. Victoria had colored hair as well. And it's like, that just tells the people like, whoa, we can't control this one. This one's got a mind of her own.
Yeah, it's like, what other crazy stuff could she possibly be up to? And it's like,
how else
not
is
really
she
anything.
Express herself?
Writing fan fiction, making a really intricate Sims village.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Watching Down with Love a lot in the basement.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, just mostly innocent and then a little bit of fun.
Yeah, like I feel like a lot of the more like traditionally nice girl looking people are the ones that were causing a lot more trouble than me at that time.
Oh, those are the ones where like, you don't hear anything, but then they're like blackout drunk in a really crazy, crazy way. Or those yeah. are like,
or they're the center of a cocaine ring.
Yeah. Or like, you know, we had lots of different, those rumors. I know you specifically ask about crazy rumors. Mm-hmm. And for me, for us, it was always like, you know, the good, pristine, popular girls was like, she put a remote up her butt at a party, which you'll yep. never know if that's real or not. Most likely not.
Most likely not.
Most likely
most
not.
Most likely not. Just because that's a lot to put in your butt as a first.
At a party.
At a party and like. My understanding is like you have to kind of work up to putting stuff in your butt. And so that like
maybe a we Roku. Know it wasn't around.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but this is pre Roku, so no.
Pre-Roku. There's no way. There's
pre
no
fire a fire stick, maybe.
Yeah.
But not like the remotes of the early 2000s, certainly not.
Not a Sony rectangular huge. Sony. No way.
Yeah, I don't buy it. But again, yeah, it was usually like the most beautiful blonde yes. angel would have the most like nefarious
rumors.
Like do or it goings on.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on or like she's just getting the most fucked up and like doing the most actual drugs and like actually having sex, whereas I like just had crazy hair and I didn't really drink until junior year and like really was just mostly reading Harry Potter. Like
yeah. Okay. But actually same, like freshman year, I wasn't doing anything. And also like I was virginal until junior year too. So
yeah,
I was more like, I mean, I started smoking weed was like the thing that was like summer going into junior year was when I started. And then I was like, okay, this is my full-time job. This is my profession. This is my yeah. calling.
Well, we got caught when you were like 16 smoking. So
can we
in
say
your
what
room.
We were smoking? Do you remember the device? Yeah.
The was it the accordion?
Which yeah. is a crazy item that not a lot of people know of. You introduced no, it to my life.
I introduced it to a lot of people's lives because it was sold at the head shop on UD's campus. And it was a gravity bong basically that's shaped like a little accordion. And you put your weed in it and then you extend the accordion. And then you suck the accordion into your face and you lose your fucking mind.
You lose your mind. It's such an insane thing to smoke. And I remember like the crinkle of the little accordion fabric mm-hmm. as it would open. And I would say to my friends, I'd always be packing. I'd be like, ready to die.
Literally. That's the only thing you can say before you're about to smoke the accordion is, are you ready to die?
Oh my God. Yeah, and, I can't.
And we got caught smoking it. And that was embarrassing for me because I was not a teenager at mm-mm. that time. I mean, I was probably like, I might've been 19
yeah,
or 20, but no, I was at least 20 because, or 21 because you were like 15 or 16. So yes. I couldn't have even been 19.
Yes.
And yeah, so it was just really embarrassing. Cause it's one thing for like you to be a dumb teenager and you think like you can smoke an accordion gravity bong in your room and put a like fucking towel on the door and have that be okay. But I was like, in my adulthood and mom yep. and dad were just like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Why? And also, oh, our cousins were like in the house. Like it was so irresponsibly fucked up what we were doing. So Nikki and young. Julian and everyone was over. They were downstairs. And
really
mom once again was like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
I will say like what I regret looking back or what I would, you know, what makes me cringe still is like, mom and dad are pretty cool, you know? Like
yeah.
they honestly are reasonable enough that somebody reasonably like being like, oh, I got high at a party or whatever, like they probably would have been like, okay, like be careful, you know, I have to give you some scolding and be like, hey, don't do that. But it was like being so blatant about it and so disrespectful.
Yeah. It's like that's disrespectful.
They didn't deserve that. They didn't need that. It's like, girl, go in the yard. Like what?
We literally, for anyone listening, we lived across the street from a nature preserve, a yeah. completely forested area that we could leave and go to at any time.
Yep. You just walk in
and yet we smoked in the house. And it is like, I mean, it is, I feel like teenagers are just like, you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. But like our parents were not, they didn't like look through our shit. They weren't the type that were constantly on us about where we were at. Like, they were not people we had to really work that hard to evade. And yet.
And yet. Well, that's why I'm like, okay, that was my like subconscious cry for attention, but
yeah.
I have to assume. Plus just again, the adolescent like foolishness and just inability to see outside of yourself and your immediate desire, like your immediate lust for something.
Yeah. Like I remember the one time mom like saw my AIM messages and found out that me and Paul had smoked weed in the forest. Because again, we had access to a lot of forest.
Yep.
And so really there was no reason to be smoking inside the house for any reason. Forest was everywhere. But so then dad had to like talk to me and Paul. And I remember he was like smirking the entire time. Like he couldn't, cause like our dad is a weed smoker now. He was smoking weed then. I would eventually find his weed in the house and it was like the greatest moment of my life. And his little pipe that was like a crack pipe. And I was like, dad, you don't have to, like, these are for crack. Like you don't
have to be like this.
Yeah. I was like, dad, you don't need to smoke weed out of this little metal thing. This is for crack. But I remember like in his eyes, I could see that he was like laughing at his own self telling us not to smoke weed. And so it's just like, it is disrespectful that we smoked a gravity bong in the house while they were there and family was over, that it would have embarrassed them.
I wish I had done them better, because that was actually though they found a note, and mom still references this note. I must have been 15 or 16. This is right when I start getting into like consistent trouble from like the sneaking out and the smoking and the skipping mm-hmm. and stuff. And I wrote a note and it was really sweet because it's basically me trying to like reconcile. You can tell there's some part of me somewhere in there that's aware, that's like, I'm sorry I'm like this. And basically the note was like, I'm really sorry, you guys. I'm trying. I know that it's not right what I've been doing. I'll try to do better.
But also I'm having a lot of fun. And...
Yeah, but also school sucks. Have you guys ever been there? It's terrible. I don't want to be there. It's awful. And weed's really fun. I don't know if you've noticed that either. It's pretty great. So I'm a little bit at a standstill here. I'm juggling a lot of things.
Yeah. Like on the one hand, I know what's right. But on the other hand, what's wrong feels so good.
So good. And also, I don't think that the school system is right. And I don't think that putting a child who is like me, which is like a hyperactive, very kinesthetic type person in a room for 7 hours to sit and take information in that way, I don't think that is right. So I think that we might look at multiple alternatives as to why some kids really can't freaking stand it in there.
Yeah. Like my issues with school were not as like we had, ours were different because I actually do like to just be seated in a classroom and to like write down what the person is saying, like weird brain.
I can't.
But I can't do that at 7 o'clock in the morning. And like, if my day begins that early, I'm sad.
I was thinking about that this morning. I woke up and I was like, can you believe that we were forced to wake up at like 5 a.m.? Our bus came at 6:15. Like, what? The misery, like it's so wrong. I saw somebody else posted the other day in the vein of high school, which was like, if you had gym class at 10 a.m., you have to put on this gross polyester outfit, run for a mile, change back into your clothes and smell like shit for the rest of the day and like be cool with that and feel fine about that.
Because I don't know about you, but no one showered in gym class.
No, there's no time. There's no time. When, how, when?
I also remember my gym uniform was fucking nasty. Smelly, because I would gross. Never remember to bring that shit home ever. And so my gym uniform was always disgusting. And it's like, I wasn't even working out. Like I refused to participate in gym ever.
But even just still, the fabric alone, once again, just the sweat of being a teenager and like being in that room and then the disgusting fabric, like it's just going to make you clammy. And then you're supposed to go and stand up in front of your crush in history class and give a report feeling so gross and terrible. And then like, it's just, wow. Like what a boot camp. What?
Yeah, it is really, and this is something, you know, that throughout all the episodes of this podcast we've talked about, but like getting that high school diploma is really like the hardest concentrated effort I've given on anything, the most dedication I've put towards something that I was pretty lukewarm about getting at the time.
Oh man, I was so lukewarm. By the time I was graduating, I was very different from you. You applied to so many colleges and you were stressed about getting in. I was not stressed about getting in. One thing, okay, like obviously I'm not advocating for my general attitude. I will say, you know, I've had sometimes, I have this innate knowing of like what doesn't matter sometimes. And even then, like even as a teen, I was like, I'm not going to stress about that. I'm going to apply to some schools. I'm going to get in and it's going to be fine. And like, I just know that it is. And I did
none of that. Zero. Like I fully bought, and I feel like our high school, because our public school area is like known for being really good and kids get into good colleges. If you go to Fairfax County Public Schools, they're really good. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they put, I always felt like the message that I was getting was like, to get into college, you had to have all your boxes checked, all your ducks in a row. It was hard to do. And then I applied to all these schools and I got into every single one. And I was like, oh, okay. This wasn't hard at all. Like,
I think really like even sooner than high school, honestly, I can remember even in elementary school, I think that I like accepted the role of, I don't care that much about school very, very early, for better or for worse, which like in some ways it freed me. It really did like free me in some ways. And I was able to skip a bunch of like dumb, unnecessary stress and bullshit. And then obviously in other ways, it stunted my sense of self as like a good, I'm a good citizen. Like I'm worthwhile. I'm confident, whatever, you know what I mean? But a lot of ways I was able to skip that stuff because I was like, I don't care about being a good student. Being a good student is not everything. This is not the only measure of intelligence. And yeah, I'm just not gonna, I just don't care. I liked theater and I liked Spanish and I was good at those things and I had fun. And I'm really glad that I focused on those things.
So, I mean, that's a way healthier attitude than what I had, which was to like, both not care about school enough to do the work, but also like have my bad grades affect my sense of self. So it's like, I didn't care enough to like be good at math or like, do my assignments, but it would make me really freaked out when I would get a bad grade. Mm. So I like lived in hell.
See, I didn't live in hell mentally. I just did what I wanted, got into trouble. And then that was what provided me the slice of hell.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk, because you mentioned theater. So now we have to get, we've gotten to the iconic part of every episode where we go through people's high school theater resumes. I will share my screen so we can take a look at what I think was your crowning jewel achievement.
I think so too.
Of high school was Marty in Grease.
Marty in Grease, so fun. Not big in the movie, bigger in the stage performance. I had a solo,
played by
which is
Kiki Palmer in the live.
Oh, icon.
Yes,
it's an honor to share the role with somebody like that. It's a real honor. I'm so glad that she watched for sure the performance that I have on YouTube, and I'm sure she took notes from what I did here in 20. Gosh, what year was that? 11. And I'm sure that informed her performance very much. It was so much fun. Such a fun play, a fun role. I mean, of course, so I got the classic thing, right? Where I wanted Rizzo. I wanted to be Rizzo in the show. And an amazing, talented, wonderful underclassman who now is a fantastic pop star on the rise got the role of Rizzo. I know, so cool. Shout out Muriel. She's amazing. She got it. But I did message my theater teacher, Mr. Linus. And I was like, just tell me, Miss G, why didn't I get it? And she hit me with the, like, we needed a Marty and you were the only one that could do it. And I was like, okay, that softens the blow. I'll take that. So
great answer, Miss Linus.
It was a good,
and
it was
shout
a good
out,
answer.
Shout out Mr. Linus, who follows me on Twitter. And
shout
sometimes
out Mr. Linus, yeah, who was really a cool teacher. She really like revived what your time was pretty chaotic in theater with Mr. Bromley.
Mr. Bromley is we've discussed him on the pod. He is a classic theater teacher. Theater
he's the
teacher.
Summer Heights High theater teacher.
Summer Heights High. That he is the quintessential guy teaching theater at a high school. For better and for worse, he is will always remain one of the like biggest influences in my life. Like yeah. him being someone who like definitely did think I was good meant a lot to me.
Yep.
But at the same time, he waged psychological warfare against us.
That's so funny.
And it yeah. worked on me every time. Like all of his tricks, I fell for him.
Like, well, you can't not. You're already a theater kid, so you're already like thirsty for those experiences, for the praise, for the drama, right? Like you're there because you like drama. And so when you get a drama teacher that takes it off the stage and like into the inner workings of the classroom, you can't help but bite. And especially yeah. when you're favored. Oh my God. Yeah, that happened. I had a college teacher my freshman year of college. I was in theater school, who openly was rude and hated everybody. But there was one time I did a scene with one of my good friends, and he was like, those two just set the bar for this class. And we were like, we like ate it up. We were so happy to be told. But then I, you know, you have to acknowledge like, no, but this guy's mean. He's like really like cruel to these
waging
kids.
Psychological warfare.
He's supposed to be nurturing artists, but he's like causing just like stunting people's growth and causing so much distress.
Right. And in a field that is like, now that I'm in it, I would say 99% confidence.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's a funny move. But I mean, listen, you slayed as Marty in
Thank
this
you.
Performance. I remember.
I love that role.
And you were dating the lead. You were dating Danny Zuko at this time.
And it was, oh my gosh. Yeah. It was like, it was just such a dream come true, you know? I mean, okay. So I really continued my theater career for the boys. Like, let's just be honest. I'd been doing drama. We both have been doing drama since we were little kiddos. And, you know, I was kind of just like following probably your footsteps a little bit, but then also loved it too. Like it was so much fun. But then I remember once I was deciding, am I going to continue and try to go audition for advanced drama? I really couldn't decide. I was like, maybe I should do Spanish. Maybe I should do something else. Am I really going to do this theater thing? And then I remembered that you got to be in the class with the upperclassmen. So I'd be a junior, but I would be with the senior boys. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. That's going to be my entry point. And I'm going to get these roles, and then they're going to have to kiss me. And then they're going to have to kiss me off the stage.
Exactly. We'll kiss on stage, and then
take it off the stage. And you know what? It worked. It worked fantastically for me. It really, I got everything I wanted.
And then, well, that's an extremely powerful position to be in, to be dating Danny Zuko when the school is doing Grease, like within the drama community. That's real power.
It was real power. He was a year younger than me, which like, you know, in high school is like a huge deal. I'm like a cougar, like, wow, holy shit.
Cougar pride.
Cougar pride, cougar pride, baby. Miss G, actually, speaking of the drama teacher, she would always say that our like homeroom time was called cougar time. And she was like, her friends would make fun of her because she's the teacher during cougar time. They're like, what do you hit on your students during cougar time?
That is really funny. I was just going to say, like, I think that the designation of cougar being an older woman that hit on younger men was not as in vogue when I was in high school. But by the time you were in high school, it had become it was a known thing that a woman who like goes after younger men was a cougar.
Yeah, it was definitely known, because cougar time was always funny. And if you were a female teacher, it'd be like, cougar time, are you gonna nothing? The drama during Grease, though, with me dating Danny Zuko, was that, so, okay, I'm just, oh my gosh, am I going to spill this tea?
Yeah, spill the tea.
Whatever. Everybody's grown up. It's all, we're all past. We're all married now. No, I'm not married. So
no one involved is married.
No one
except
involved
for Victoria.
Married, actually, at all. Yeah, exactly. And she was not in the play. She was a stan in the audience, as she should be. Mm-hmm. So the girl who played Sandy, at the very end, the curtain would close and like they had their little last moment holding each other. And my boyfriend at the time, Danny Zuko, claimed to me that she attempted to kiss him after the curtain closed. And I was like, what is that all about? But I chose not to engage. I'm really not a conflict forward person. And I especially wasn't back then. But I think it might have been because her boyfriend had previously been very flirty with me. So I don't know if that was like a comeback or if maybe it didn't happen at all. Maybe this drama, maybe it was two guys. Could have been.
Yeah, maybe two guys tried to kiss him.
It could have been two guys that came up and tried to kiss him and he thought that it was her, but it was not. I don't know. I can neither confirm nor deny at this time. But I will say that that was a little bit of drama. And I was like, whoa there.
That is like the perfect drama because it's like for them to kiss when the curtain is open.
I'm a professional. That's allowed.
That's professional.
Yep.
But for her to try to kiss him once the curtain has closed. Mm-mm. That is completely
sloppy.
She wants your seconds.
She was trying to have my freaking seconds. And I'll tell you something. Oh. I ate that meal. Okay.
Looking disgusting.
Oh God.
Okay. So I want to talk about your other biggest trouble.
Which one? Oh God. Yeah.
Totaled the car.
Oh yeah. Okay. That one.
Totaling the car. We were both caught stealing at the Fair Oaks Mall almost 5 years apart to the day, but that's just a classic two little white girls getting caught stealing at the mall story. Yep, I want to talk about you flipping the CRV.
Jeez. Oh my God. Okay. Here we go. I had my permit at the time. Didn't even have my
license. Also just realized that's not your biggest trouble. And we'll talk about your other biggest trouble.
I have a lot, don't I? I have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about my other biggest trouble. I don't even remember what it is. I'm excited for you to remind me. Mm-hmm. So the car, I had my permit. I didn't even have my license. So I'm only supposed to be driving one friend. I was driving three. It's SOL day. I don't know if everybody has the SOLs, the standardized learning test, right?
And, yes.
As usual, anytime there was any rift in the schedule at school, a pep rally, you know, like on Wednesdays, we'd have to go in an hour late. Anytime there was any change, I would be like, skip school. Because then I would have some weird way to be like, oh, wait, the school called you. That must be because they thought I wasn't in my SOL testing room, but whatever. I'd be like, I find a crack in the system.
Yeah.
So it's SOL day, which means like the first half of the day, you're kind of just in homeroom. And then the second half, you go and take your test or whatever. So my friends and I skip, we drive like so far away and we go and get fast food. We go and get like McDonald's or something. And we're very far from the location of our school at this point. And just definitely not anywhere near the school. And I'll never forget Machine Gun Funk was playing by Biggie Smalls. And I still can't, like that song like resides in my bones because we were high. Am I going to get like retroactively arrested for this? Probably not.
You're a minor.
We may or may not have two guys may or may not have gotten us high and, it's two guys. So that's just here. And it was just like, there was lights, like the string of lights in front of me. And my brain like was looking at the green beyond that one light that was actually for us. And I just remember my friend next to me, Celia, she's like, it's red. And then I see a car is like gonna T-bone us. I swerve. I say, I'm sorry. Yep. I say, I'm sorry. Time slows down. I go over the median. I correct, go back onto the road. I have to correct again. I go over the median again and I hit a car. But somehow nobody is hurt.
Thank God.
Majorly, like this is where I'm like, angels are real because I have not been watching over my own back throughout those years. Something else was, or it's just random chaotic luck. So the car gets totaled. My friends are alive. I immediately tell them, you all need to run into the woods because you're not supposed to be here. So run. So my friends
scatter.
They literally, I'm like, take the weed, get the fuck out of here. They scatter. I'm shaking.
miles from the school.
Oh, they're not. So I think they updated me on what happened to them. They ran through the woods. They come out at the back end of a Safeway and they take a taxi to school. I'm shaking. A cop is like, weren't there a bunch of other girls here? And I'm like, no, nobody else. It was just me.
Who told you that? Two guys?
Did the two guys say that to you? No, those guys laced everything. Okay. Yeah. And I'm shaking. I call dad. I'm like, hi. I don't even remember. Like, all of this is a fog, of course. And he's like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in Chantilly, which is not where our school is at all.
No, not at all.
So I guess he comes and picks me up. He takes me to school because I'm like, I have to go take the SOL now. I have to remember about civil rights. Like, it's the Pythagorean theorem again. Yeah, so I go to school. The SOL's canceled for that day. So what do? I leave school and I go to my friend's house. And
iconic.
Yep. I couldn't. I was like so freaked out. And the car was totaled. Oh, that's another one, man. It guts me deep. It's like, oh, that loss that will.
Yeah, of the CRV.
Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. But yeah, my friends were all safe and alive. Thank God. It was my three besties that I've been best friends with since we were children. And that was, yeah, just the most horrifying experience. And I've never
had
a car issue since then.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when that happened again. I was in college during your craziest years. I was in college, so it would always be that I would get a phone call that's like, Natalie totaled the car. I'm like, oh shit.
That makes me, I remember what you're saying my biggest trouble is going to be. I remember.
And
I
so remember. The biggest trouble that Natalie ever got into, I remember I was,
oh God.
I was in New York actually. Visiting a boyfriend that I was dating in New York, and I got a text from a friend of mine from high school that was like, have you talked to Natalie? And I was like, what? And then she relayed to me this story. If you want to take the floor.
Oh my God, I need to say I will still stand by the fact that I am not, okay, I did dumb things, but all of the blame and all of the fuckery that occurred was not all my irresponsibility and fault. I will say mm-hmm. that. Okay, so one of our friends, one of the besties, went out of town with her parents and she's like, girl, keys under the mat, have fun, chicas. So we say, okay. And one of our other friends was really like the proprietor of that key. Which is where I will pawn off the responsibility on her, because we threw a party. We threw a little bit of a party and we had friends over. Here's where we're stupid. And here's where, the receipts were brought. We took pictures at this party and we posted those pictures on Facebook.com, the website that anybody can go on to. Anybody old or young, near and far can go on and they can see, you know, the portraits of their own home behind these teens that are like drinking,
holding red Solo cups. Like, I mean, these pictures,
eyes. We're clearly in their house. Yeah. So we did that, which is really unfortunate. What I'll say is I remember we left that party and I helped clean up that house and it was fine. It was good. People had left. We had cleaned up, but somebody had either found out where the key was or found out a way back into the house, because another party was thrown that I was not at, in which they puked, they did not clean it up, they left the house in shambles. And so my friend and her family come home to their house, like totally messed up and destroyed. And that was when, you know, they take to Facebook and they see, okay, well, we can see that, yeah, there was.
Well, here's a picture of Natalie Morales. Natalie.
Yeah, here's Natalie. Here's all the girls. Here's all the usual suspects. And yeah, that was another one where, oh, the fear of God when dad came to me and was like, oh, mad.
So the big, the big thing that made this really bad, I think, is that the parents of this individual bestie were besties with our parents.
Yeah.
So it became a like, you've embarrassed us in front of
that's always the
girlies.
Worst mom and dad, right? It's like,
yeah, I think that like
one thing for us to privately insult them, but to do so publicly is a whole other level of rage.
Yeah. Like the fact that they had to get a call from friends who were like, hey, Natalie threw a party at our house. I think that makes it way. I think if they had just found out you were drinking at a house, yep. or a parent or person they didn't they know like, had yeah. called them, they would have been like, okay, you have to go apologize, Natalie, that's not good. But the fact yeah. that it was like their
friends,
their BFF yeah. friends, yeah, that was not
and
good.
They found their house destroyed, so it seemed like I had like disrespected their home in that way of like yeah. not even cleaning it up and like just really intruding like that. I think I'm kind of like, I guess like spokesperson energy. So a lot of parents will kind of look to me as like, Natalie's the leader of this group. Natalie mm-hmm. kind of like must have led the charge on this one. And I'm like, I'm not leading the charge. I'm just here, guys. It's all.
And I will say your Facebook profile picture was a picture of you standing on their stairs with a red Solo cup smiling.
Yeah. I mean, I was, we took a picture, just openly, I don't know, again, brain just doesn't even think. Doesn't
Absolutely even- crazy, because I do remember I was like, what? Because my friend texted me, because my friend, they also have another daughter that is my age that I knew. This girl was better friends with her, so she texted me, that's how it gets back to me. I go on Facebook and I'm like, well, yeah, these are pictures of Natalie in their house. I was like, well, it looks like Natalie had a party at their house.
That you're gonna, I don't know how they think that you're not gonna, I don't know how I thought that they're not gonna see that. Like, what?
Again, it's just the, I don't know, it's the teenage
brain.
The teenage brain, the teenage consequence brain.
It's so weird, because like, I can put my energy and effort towards curating this whole elaborate plan to like escape and sneak out and throw the party and clean it all up and do all this, but then to just ruin it all with one ignorant, obtuse move of posting the pictures
on Facebook.
It's unfathomable. It is such a mystery.
But also, I will say, in young Natalie's defense, those early days of Facebook were lawless as far sure. as what was being posted. And there was like, even though you intellectually understood, like, yeah, everyone can access these pictures, for some reason it felt like parents aren't going to look at Facebook. Why would a parent look at Facebook or whatever? Whereas now I feel like the teens know that they're like, I need my story to be private. Like they, you know, Gen Z kids will have like one Instagram picture. They archive everything. Yes. Like they get the internet world. Whereas we were like, post it all.
Who knows? Who cares? Yeah. Like mom and dad aren't going to notice that. Why would they?
Mom doesn't have Facebook.
I know. And
now mom has two Facebooks.
I'm sure both of which she's locked out of, that she can't log on to. Yeah. I think, they wouldn't have seen it. It was sent to them. It was sent to them from an insider source that will not be named. It was the two guys, but yeah, that was, man, going over this stuff. I'm like, nah, girl, foolish.
But you know what? You had to get your shit out the way that I had to get all my angsty shit out. And it was just two different ways of expressing a lot of energy and releasing a lot of steam and tension, 100%. I feel like.
I've always been curious about the rules and where they actually lie. I've always been curious about altering my consciousness. Like, that's why I was so down to just try all that stuff. And I was like, we're just here to have fun, man. We're just here to have fun with it every moment that we can.
Honestly, I stand Teen Natalie for that.
I do. I wish that she had a little more tact.
Yeah, I think that we could have been more respectful in yes. how we were executing, but the premise that you were operating off of, I think was ultimately good.
Yeah, there were some good things in there. There's some things that I was like, you know what? I wasn't wrong for that one. I wasn't wrong to think that like school is dumb and not everything.
Absolutely. All right. I feel like this is a great place for us to ask you the two final questions of the pod. I didn't do either ors with you because I know all your answers. So
they're pretty obvious from the jump.
Yeah, exactly. I think we answered all of them in all of these stories. So my question for you is, do you remember any big rumors, scandals, happenings that shook the halls of Oakton High School during your time there? I do remember one that you told me about that stuck with me.
Okay, remind me, because I've got a few minor ones floating around, but they're all kind of the classic, like, you know, guy gets a dog to lick peanut butter off of his dick and like, those sorts of things. Which one do you remember?
I remember you telling me that there was a girl who like ate poop out of a toilet.
Yeah. I don't know if it was out of a toilet, but there was an eat poop rumor. And once again, it was said that she ate poop at a party. And I don't know if it was human poop or dog poop, but it was very common lore that that poop was eaten. And I will not say her name, but I do remember.
Absolutely not. I remember the way that I heard about this was you had told me, and then we went to Chipotle and you were like, that's the girl who ate poop. And I was like, I know, no fucking way.
And then we saw her take her order and she asked them to put poop in her bowl. And that was
she was like, can you put poop in here? I feel like there's no way that girl ate poop.
I feel like what happens with these rumors is that like something close to something happens, like where like she ate something and someone was like, wait, did you just eat that? That was where my dog just pooped. And then they're like, oh my God, she might've. And then it becomes like some weird close thing maybe, or it's just entirely fabricated and completely, totally made up.
Yeah, I do feel like sometimes they're related to a kernel of something. Like maybe there was a joke, she joked about eating poop.
Exactly. And then people
I just can't imagine that she really ate poop.
There was a guy who like had his first gravity bong. And this is like, this one's real because I know a lot of the people who were present for this. He had his first gravity bong rip. He like immediately kind of passes out. He wakes up, he goes to the bathroom. And then they're like, yo, you good in there? And they check on him and he's jerking off in the bathroom.
Ah! That's really... No! No!
I know.
No!
I don't follow the line of...
Wow. Wow, that's a really good one, Natalie.
That's a really good one. I can't, that one was really locked in the recesses, but I remember who that was as well. And yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, I remember distinctly this boy who was caught jerking off in between the mats. Like, you know those like mats that would be in PE and they could like fold up. They were like blue plastic mats. I guess he was standing in between them and jerked off in between them. And then I just remember whenever I would see him around school, I would think of his like cummy hands and it would really gross me out. No. I'd be like, ew, he jerked off on them. I don't know. Cause I also like didn't really understand how jerking off worked at that time. So I just imagined like cummy hands.
And you know he wiped it on the blue mat.
You know he did. We're all rolling and tumbling. Mm-mm. No. That's wrong.
A lawless place.
All right, Nat. We've come to the end. Wow. It's the final episode of The Roast. We're gonna leave it on this note. If you could talk to teen Natalie today, what would you tell her?
Oh my gosh. It's funny because I actually got this advice. One of our dear friends, Megan Kelly, said to me one time, she said, you need to slow your roll. And I was so mad that she said that to me. I was so mad, but she was right. I would say, slow your roll. I'd say you're right about school, but you're not right about everything. And it's good to invest yourself in something like theater, Spanish, whatever. And your parents are cool, man. Be nicer to them. Like,
yeah,
they're cool. Be just try to stop getting caught so much. It's not that serious. You don't need to be such a fiend all the time. So try to just be a little smarter about all the things you're doing. Honestly, do most of the stuff you're doing, but get smarter. Get smarter with it.
Yeah, I think since this is the final episode, I think I'll answer the question as well, yeah. Which is like, after all of these many years of reflecting on Tina Lise, from the live show to now, you know, when I started the live show, it was because I thought of my teenage self as such a cringy person that I couldn't even like imagine talking about it. And now that I've talked about it, I don't feel that way about Tina Lise at all. And I have a lot of love for her as someone who was really struggling with a lot of anxiety that she didn't know how to place. And so I think what I would say to her is, number one, you don't actually have to feel this way. And there are things that you can do to not be this anxious, because I think I just understood my anxiety and the like way that it made me feel and like the tension. Like I just felt like such a like, just like a taut pulled rope the entire time. And I think that I would just tell myself, like, you actually don't have to feel that way. And the only real thing that I would change is how quickly I started to learn to like let the slack go on the rope and let myself chill out a little bit and not be so hard on myself and not be so hard on everything around me, you know, because I was hard on mom and dad too, because I felt the way that I did and I felt like they didn't understand and I felt like my friends didn't understand. So sometimes I would be mean to them. And like, I think that is really the only thing that I would go back and say to my teenage self.
That is so beautiful. And what a beautiful way to like round out this podcast. Cause I listen to the pod and it is a really vulnerable thing. And I'm glad you said that. Cause even right now I feel a little cringe, like listing, unearthing all of these things and being like, oh my God, what was wrong with me? But you're so right. It's like, a teen is just doing the best they know with the resources available to them to deal with the insane inner world that they have. And especially if you're someone that has anxiety that nobody knows about, it's like, you're literally doing the best you can with what you're even aware of.
Yeah. And I think compassion. It takes such a long time to realize that like your perception of the world or the way that you interact with the world actually can change and it's not set in stone. And so if you are feeling this anxious or you are feeling angry or any of that stuff, there are actually ways that is not the way it always has to be forever and ever. And the way you feel in high school is not always how you're going to feel. The way you deal with people in high school is not how you're always going to feel. And I think at the end of the day, like you should always kind of feel like yourself from 10 years ago or is a little cringe and then be like, oh, but myself from 20 years ago, I actually love her and she's a little sweetie.
Totally, totally. And the cringe point is where you like have an opportunity to give yourself a little more compassion or be like, oh, okay, why does that make me feel that way? Maybe something about that can change. But mostly just like, be kind, man. We're doing the best with what we know. And it is, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, how could you even perceive that there's a world where you don't feel stress? If stress is all you know, there's just no way.
Exactly. You do have to, like, at the end of the day, you come to the things you are going to realize when you realize them. And
you're going to walk the walk.
Yeah. And I think that brings us to the end of the podcast, which is
so fun. Wow.
I know, it's so crazy. I mean, I'm so happy that you were the last episode. And to everyone who's listened throughout all of these episodes, I'm just so grateful. Hopefully they've helped you to compartmentalize your cringy teen self, give a little love to your teen self. And for all of y'all listening at home, this has been the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast.